Dear brothers and sisters, as the Israelites reached the wilderness of Sinai in their Exodus, God called Moses up to Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapters 20 through 23, God gave the Ten Commandments and the statutes His people were to follow. As God finished His words on the commandments and statutes, God commanded Israelites to never serve idols and to celebrate three national feasts. When they entered the Canaan land, the three national feasts to observe are the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering. First Exodus chapter 23 verse 15 tells us, "You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, at the appointed time in the month Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt." There are unleavened bread and leavened bread. When you make bread, there is some, you have to put it in yeast and you have to wait for it to get bigger so that it's better for you to eat and becomes softer. But without the yeast, the bread becomes hard and solid. But God told the Israelites to eat unleavened bread. As I told you, they make bread with wheat flour. They have to wait for it to, but as the Israelites were getting out of Egypt, they were hastily did everything. That's why they didn't even have time to prepare yeast for their bread. That's why the Egyptian king didn't let them go. The Israelites had to rush out of Egypt. They didn't have enough time to prepare everything. That's why they couldn't afford to celebrate that, to remember that. Actually, leavened bread are much more delicious, but God told them to eat unleavened bread so that they can remember and celebrate their Exodus. Remember the events that God brought them out of Egypt. This is what the feast is like. Through Moses, God rescued the Israelites enslaved in Egypt with the 10 plagues. The last plague, the death of the firstborn, encompassed all the firstborns of the people of Egypt along with their animals. But the Israelites were spared with God's instruction of making their doorposts and lintels with the blood of the Lamb, which symbolized Jesus Christ. God's promise with Abraham was fulfilled as the Israelites, who were enslaved for 400 years, made their way to the land flowing with milk and honey. God designated the Feast of Unleavened Bread as the day to celebrate the Exodus. Leviticus chapter 23 verses 5 and 6 says, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is a feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. At twilight on the 14th day of the first month of Exodus is observed as the Lord's Passover, where a lamb was eaten. For 7 days from the 15th to the 21st, unleavened bread is eaten for the Feast of Unleavened Bread." The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread signify the Israelites' liberation, freedom, deliverance from the plagues, and hope for the land of Canaan. Today, the Jewish people still celebrate the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but Christians celebrate Easter in remembrance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the spiritual representation of Passover lamb and the holy bread of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Next, the first half of Exodus chapter 23, verse 16 tells us, "Also, you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits of your labors from what you sow in the field." The Feast of Harvest marks the Israelites entering the Canaan land and offering the first fruits of the wheat harvest in thanksgiving. These days, many in Korea, we mainly eat rice. This is our main food, which is rice. But in other countries, many people eat bread as their primary meal. Israelites the same. Wheat flour is made into a bread, and God told them to observe the Feast of Harvest with the first fruits of their wheat. These days, many churchgoers are not in agricultural business. Instead of offering the first harvest of wheat or barley, we prepare the feast harvest offerings with all our hearts. Especially after we finish the first half of the year, we designated the Korean churches designated as the Feast of Harvest, and we give thanks to God for protecting us during the first half of the year. But we have to know the origin of the Feast of Harvest, why God designated this day as the Feast of Harvest. That's why I explained. And in your life, as you finish the first half of the year, you have to give thanks to God for protecting you from all accidents and for answering your prayers and to providing you with the words of life and for changing you. We have many areas of thanksgiving. You have to meditate on them and worship God with thanksgiving, and you have to pray for God to protect you for the second half of the year as well. And that's why we prepare our thanksgiving offerings for that season and worship God. Finally, the latter part of Exodus chapter 23, verse 16 tells us, also the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. The feast of ingathering literally means the season of storing the fruit from hard labor, commemorating the Israelites giving thanks offerings at the end of the agriculture year. In such a fruitful harvest season, God commanded Israelites to build and dwell in temporary booths in the wilderness to commemorate their 40-year hardship in the wilderness. The Feast of Ingathering is also called the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. In Christianity, this is celebrated as the Feast of Thanksgiving. We have many reasons for thanksgiving. We have topics for which we are thankful for. But God told the Israelites to offer Him the God designated special seasons, and God desire for them to remember God who brought them out of Egypt. We have to remember the meaning. In times of blessings, we have to give thanks. Of course, we have to be thankful and joyful, but we have to think about, what if we hadn't met God? We would be living in sufferings and afflictions in the world, and we would be pursuing worthless things and considering everything. But we have gained a new life. We have to once again give thanks as we compare ourselves to how we are living, to how we would have been living if we hadn't met God. We used to live in... It's not that we have to be depressed about thinking of our past, because we are truly joyful and thankful right now, even if we were living in sadness in the past. Because we compare our past to the present, we have another reason of thanksgiving. Let's say you were suffering in the past and you were in tests and tribulations, but you were totally repented and you have you're filled with the joy of salvation. And even after you accepted the Lord, if you commit sins, you live in pain because you know the word, you live in pain, but you thoroughly repent and turn from your ways, and then you are running towards the new Jerusalem. But let's say, even, but if you don't have anything to do with those sins, when you hear a message and you think about your past and you're happy because you are now running this, leading a Christian life with joy and thanksgiving, and you also give thanks to the shepherd who changed you with tears. And even if we think about the past where we live in stupidity, we are still thankful. But if you're still committing sins, if you don't want to think about your past because, but if you thoroughly repent perfectly, you, and then you don't have, because, but if you perfectly repented, you have nothing to do with that, and you are, because you've been cleansed by the Lord's blood, because you are living in sin, in light, you are bold. But if you still have the burden of sin, if you still have like attributes of adultery, if you still have the attributes of some sinful natures, then you feel lonely and you feel afflicted. So whenever the something is preached, and I mean, whenever the pastor preaches about that, you feel afflicted. But once you completely cast off that sinful attribute and live in the truth, you are freed. You are liberated from the sin. This is how you are perfectly liberated from your sins. That's way you have the reasons for thanksgiving. And as you think about your past, you are more joyful. It's not that you are distressed thinking about your past. Our Lord told Israelites to remember their past as they celebrate the feast. I hope that you, brothers and sisters, God judged Egypt and saved Israel with great and amazing power. God also gave the Israelites commandments and laws so that they can enjoy true blessings and be above all nations. Exodus chapter 23 verse 14 says, "Three times a year you shall celebrate a feast to me," meaning we must offer up three national feasts. Following God's words, this church celebrates the feast every day, every year, conducting the Holy Communion on three occasions, on Easter, the Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Thanksgiving. Through today's sermon, may you realize what you need to do to become good and desirable fruits, like the first fruits offered on the Feast of Harvest. As the Lord's coming draws closer, I hope you will engrave in your heart the ways to lead as many souls as possible to salvation and be a joy before God. Dear brothers and sisters, today is the Feast of Harvest Sunday, a day where we give thanks and glory to God the Father who protected us in the first half of the year with eyes like a flame of fire and has given us many blessings. Let's put our hands together before God. This year is particularly another leap for Mount Min. In line with this, our church members have become more zealous and hopeful for New Jerusalem. The fervor for the kingdom of God is so ardent in each parish and mission groups that the church's leaflet, "People Who Have Met God," runs out soon after being published. This year, in the first half, the first half of the year saw active overseas mission trips bearing much fruit in countries like Colombia, Peru, DR Congo, Kenya, Malaysia, Japan, etc. Divine healing meetings held every second month transcended time and space with various healing works and blessings all over the world. They allowed many. We have the people confess that what we share is biblical and is the pure gospel, and it is not tainted by the man's thoughts, and it is the word of God. And they rejoiced. And we have heard such joyful news. We are bearing fruit abundantly everywhere. Divine healing meetings held every second month transcended time and space with various healing words and blessings all over the world. They allowed many to meet firsthand the living God. Moreover, the three Mount Daniel prayer meetings held during the first half of the year led us to offer prayers of spiritual depth with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There was also a visit to the Gethsemane prayer house for church workers, a Muasui water event, a cherry blossom cruise, and a Bible reading campaign. I give all thanks and glory to Father God who has blessed us with a joyful religious life, allowing us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and truth, daily grow our faith, practice the love of Christ, and overflow with hope for heaven. I know that you've been thankful always, but particularly today, as you attend this service, I urge you to give special thanks to God who's protected and accompanied us during the first half of the year, 2024. Dear brothers and sisters, today's Bible passage shows Jesus' sadness as the harvest was plentiful, but the workers were few. A farmer works hard to cultivate the field by clearing it in spring, fertilizing and watering at appropriate times after sowing seeds, removing any weeds, and getting rid of harmful insects. At harvest time, the farmer's heart would be overjoyed and pleased seeing a field full of good and desirable fruits and consider it well worth the effort. But while the field is full of fruits to harvest, but there are little or no workers to help gather them, how downhearted would the farmer be? If you miss the right time to harvest, the amount of harvest inevitably decreases. If it's too late, you may even need to throw away the crops. So, if the harvest time draws closer and there aren't enough workers, a farmer desperately needs faithful and capable workers. Brothers and sisters, this reflects God's heart as He looks upon the earth where we are living at the climax of the human cultivation. Since the beginning of human cultivation, God has not stopped cultivating to harvest good grains. Through great refinements in the church, God has helped us discover the hidden darkness in us, get rid of evil in nature through the gospel of holiness, and become sanctified good grains, namely His true children. It's now time to take up the sickle and harvest the crops. In March, Jesus metaphorically said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil until he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know, the soil produces crops by itself, first the blade and the head, then the mature grain and the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." As the harvest season, when good grains have to be gathered and brought into the barn, God searches the land and finds that there are numerous souls to be saved, yet there are few workers to lead them to the path of true salvation. So God continuously searches the whole earth, earnestly looking for workers to harvest. Through today's message, I pray in the name of the Lord that you'll feel the heart of God who desperately looks for harvest workers and emerge as capable workers who can confidently confess, "Lord, here I am, send me."
축원합니다. 성도 여러분, 마지막 때
Dear brothers and sisters, what do we need to do to help lead many souls to salvation, harvest good grains, and bring joy to God in these end times? First, we need to achieve the love of the Lord in our hearts and spread the gospel. Our God sent His beloved Son to this earth to redeem us, unsparingly giving Him up for sinners. Jesus obeyed God's will without question, came down to this earth taking the form of a servant, suffered all kinds of contempt, and underwent horrifying crucifixion on behalf of all sinners. Through that love and sacrifice, the path to salvation opened wide for humanity. Anyone who repents of their sins and accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior can receive the Holy Spirit as a gift and be born again as a child of God. By being born again of water and the Holy Spirit, you become a new creature in Christ. You are freed from the law of sin and death and can live a life filled with happiness and peace, rejoicing with the hope of eternal life. If you realize how great this love is and how precious the grace is in your heart, how should you view the many souls who don't know God yet? With the love of God and the earnest heart of the Lord, you would want to lead them onto the path of life and salvation. If you want to share with them the love you've experienced, because they are pursuing worthless things and living in suffering, you feel heartbroken for them. Because you know the love of the Lord and God, you are living in joy. That's why you want to share it with them. You are filled with passion to spread it because you have received it. And the Lord and God wants to save souls through the human cultivation. That's why we are thankful, and that's why, and because we love God and our Lord, we are filled with the passion to save the souls. Especially when you are filled with the first love of God, you commit yourself to sharing the gospel. But as you live longer and longer as Christians, as you are tired and exhausted from the fight against your sins, you kind of lose your joy and you neglect people around you. That means you've lost the first love for God and the Lord, and you forgot about that, lost a little bit of your first love for God and the Lord. If you had a loved one who's about to fall into fiery pits of hell, would you just sit there and watch? Even if your own life is threatened, you would still try to save your loved ones. According to the degree of your love, the passion would be different. If you don't truly love Him, you would just think, I can't help it. I cannot go into that. But if you truly love them, you don't calculate this and that. You just go to them and let's say your beloved child will fall into the pits of hell. Then you would risk all your own life to save your child. You don't think about this and that. If you truly love your child, you would do that. When we think of the souls who will have to suffer for eternity in hell, where their worm doesn't die and the fire never goes out, we should feel overwhelmingly anxious to preach the gospel to them. Whether the season is right or not, it's important to always preach the gospel, even if you get insulted or troubled. Your spiritual authority and power depends on the extent of God's love attained in your heart. Through this, you'll be able to defeat the darkness and guide souls into the light. Even if you preach the same word as others, the work of the Holy Spirit can vary depending on how much you resemble the heart of the Lord and how much you love the souls. you can exude meekness and gentleness as much as you've achieved spiritual love. Many people can dwell in it and receive grace and be moved through it. Even people with hardened hearts can be transformed. Apostle Paul, who was filled with the love of the Lord, confessed in Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, "For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Apostle Paul burned with love for the churches and fellow believers. He prayed for the souls with tears day and night, admonished them with the word of God, and was willing to give even his life for them. Through this dedication and effort, without a care for his own life, many souls were able to stand firm in their faith and overcame persecution and sufferings. Some even faced martyrdom, following the example of Apostle Paul's faith. Actually, while Apostle Paul was imprisoned, some believers prayed for them with tears, and then some of them left Apostle Paul and distorted the word of God. There were some people who betrayed, but those who met the Lord and felt his true love even went to the point where they were martyred. Some early church believers did that. Believers who felt such deep love from Apostle Paul also loved him fervently. Galatians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me." This verse reflects the devotion of Galatians. Apostle Paul's passionate love for the souls was the driving force that brought many to fruition. Imagine what great joy and brilliant glory Apostle Paul had before God as someone who had gained such beautiful good grains as fruits. With this same hope, may you all work hard to evangelize, no matter whom you meet, with an earnest desire to save souls and lead them to heaven. Dear brothers and sisters, secondly, to reap as many souls as possible as the fruits of salvation and bring joy to Father God, we must follow the heart of the Lord in all that we do. How can we completely resemble the heart of the Lord? Most importantly, we must quickly cast off all forms of untruth and evil, fill our hearts with the word of truth, and become one with the Lord. Then you can be moved, influenced, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Your actions and words and even your body movements and facial expressions will be governed by the Holy Spirit, who searches even the depths of God. Jesus, who was completely one with God, acted not of his own accord during his ministry on earth. The Bible says, "So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me, and He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." By doing everything according to the will and heart of the Father, Jesus glorified God whenever He went. If you believe in the Lord, you must achieve the heart of the Lord and emit a good and beautiful fragrance in everything. Not having the heart of the Lord, we may sometimes unknowingly obscure the glory of God or miss opportunities to spread the gospel. For example, you may be fruitful and zealous at church, but don't appear the same at home. Though you can go home and relax after the Sunday evening service, what if all you did was rest, not doing your duties at home? Not only that, if you rest at home and leave the housework to others because you've worked hard for God's kingdom, then you're not being considerate towards your family. Some families may understand, but other families with weak faith or no faith at all will lose grace or be disappointed.
밝게 웃으면서 은혜롭지만 집에서 가족들에게 짜증을 내거나 함부로 말한다.
If you always smile cheerfully and act graciously in front of others but get irritated or speak rudely at home, you can hurt your family's feelings. To spread the fragrance of Christ, you must be more diligent than others and always seek others' benefits first, even if you are extremely close or feel comfortable with them. We shouldn't say things like, because we are close, I can do things half-heartedly. If you have true service in your heart, you would do this, you would serve others sincerely. Some people have a there are several types of people. We have to treat others with the same sincerity. Does this mean that if you serve only, you will suffer loss? No. When you serve, you are happy. This is the beautiful heart of the Lord. This is the attribute of the Lord's blamelessness. You may say, because I serve always, what will I receive in return? You will receive things in heaven. But if you, you have to circumcise your heart and fill your heart with the heart of the Lord. To do this, your heart as well as your outer appearance needs to be transformed. When good deeds and sincerity pours out from a transformed heart, you can emit the fragrance of Christ. Sometimes, being overly zealous, a person may give a hard time to those who are still weak in faith. For example, a zealous person can hurtfully say to a brother still young in faith and struggling with a hardship, Why don't you have the faith to overcome it? If the other person doesn't have enough faith to accept your advice, you may cause that person to stumble in faith. Or he may push new believers who've just registered to sow so they can reap and receive blessings, telling them to offer large amounts of offerings. It's important to remember that the truth can become a burden and make other people's lives difficult if we try to force or push. May you all understand this well and tend the souls with the Lord's heart, who does not break a bruised reed nor puts out a smoldering wick, and with the Lord's sacrificial love. Let me conclude the message, dear brothers and sisters. A person who fulfills the heart of the Lord and emits a beautiful fragrance of goodness does not insist on themselves, but understands and embraces others. They also share others' joy and sorrows. Instead of seeking their own benefits, they serve and sacrifice with a humble heart, show love and good deeds by looking after others and helping them in need. If you have the beautiful fragrance of Christ and live a life in which you become the light, how could your family members, neighbors, and friends not open their hearts and accept the Lord when you evangelize? Just as bees and butterflies gather to the scent of a flower, many souls can come before God through you. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 writes, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." After seeing your actions, even a stranger who doesn't know God would confess, "I also want to go to the church that he attends and come before God." It's important to always stay on alert, pray, and question what the Lord would do in every situation. May you quickly fulfill the Lord's will by pursuing goodness and truth. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will bear abundant fruit in your families, workplaces, and businesses, as well as God-given duties.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. scorched them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.